97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. A few minutes after 6 on your Thursday morning, the 25th day of the month, and a little chilly out there for late April. I'll have to say, I don't know, in the 40s for sure. It's going to warm up a little bit today. Maybe not as beautiful a day as we had yesterday. I actually broke a sweat yesterday because you're wearing long sleeves in the morning because it's 45, and then you end up outside. If you still got the same clothes on, got a little warm yesterday in the sun.
It's so funny because I agree. It's 75 degrees or whatever it was, feels warm.
Yeah.
And that's going to feel like a cold front come June, July, when we're all, you know, dealing with, what, 95-degree temps?
I hate to complain in any way, shape, or form.
It's okay. Get it.
It's beautiful. Beautiful weather right now. A little bit of rain maybe coming in late tonight and during the day tomorrow, which is a little bit of a bummer if you've got stuff to do. That's what it is. We'll keep an eye on that. No big problems this morning that you should be facing when you head out the door. Big stories happening today. They're gonna talk presidential immunity today in the Supreme Court. Those should be interesting oral arguments. Sometimes listening to those can be like listening to paint dry, but this is kind of a big deal. What they decide today here could determine the future political nastiness in our country and whether or not it comes to an end or it gets a lot worse. And the progressive left in this country are just fine with it getting a lot worse if they can pursue their political opponents anytime they want. Because if Republicans get back in control, do they go after Barack Obama for sending, you know, millions of dollars in a pallet of cash to the Iranians, which they turned around and used for terrorists? Could you go after a president for decisions to drop a bomb on a supposed terrorist somewhere that ends up killing civilians? I mean, the question here is huge when it comes to how much immunity a president should have, and that if they go into it knowing they don't have that immunity, how does it hamstring their decision-making process? So the Democrats currently want to use that against President Trump, but they most certainly don't want it used against them. And those are the decisions in front of the United States Supreme Court today. Big time. We're hoping to get you a report from Fox News coming up here on that issue and what's really at stake in the immunity case today in the next half hour or so. So stay tuned for that. A little later, we're going to talk more about the Title IX changes. I heard Riley Gaines and others speaking out about that yesterday and what it means for women. It's really devastating, to be honest with you, to girls. As a girl dad, it's disturbing that the federal government can just randomly make these rule changes without going back through Congress. Everybody should be worried about that. So we'll talk to Michelle Exner from Parents Defending Education in the 8 o'clock hour. I'll tell you that. Right now, I want to get to our top stories, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free.
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
I'm just a bubblehead at New York University, and I don't really know why I'm here, but free Palestine.
Abortion extremists to ban abortion, to ban birth control, and to ban fertility care nationwide. Boo!
Yeah, there's one of the pro-abortion activists, the pro-murder, I think is what I'd prefer to say, saying that abortion saves lives. How does that logic work?
The response of several university presidents was shameful. Now, fortunately, state, local, federal officials, many of them have responded differently, but there has to be more.
Yeah, if I'm the Prime Minister of Israel, I'm a little worried about what I'm seeing on U.S. campuses. I don't know about you.
But Tracy said working as an appointee allows his position to function better than being managed by a group of 5 appointees.
I worry about answering to 5 people and trying to get a consensus of doing my job compared to a person who appointed me.
Yeah. Chief Robert Tracy from the city of St. Louis PD down in Jeff City yesterday arguing against state control of the police department. I want you to just let that soak into your brain for a moment, what he just said there. He would rather deal with one person than five on a police board. The problem here is that one person is Tashara Jones, who hired him, and he is going to do her bidding. Her bidding, if you carry out the logic there, is to defund the police and take their resources and put them into social workers. I like Chief Tracy. I met him a couple of times. We had him on the radio station here. We had him on the show a couple months ago. I think he's from the officers I've talked to in the city that I know, they all have a fairly favorable perception of him as a cop. They think he's got good instincts as a police officer. He is, though, a political animal. He is. You cannot be in that position if you're hired by a mayor with a political point of view, and they all have one, her especially when it comes to criminal justice, and not be a political animal. You don't get those jobs by just keeping your nose to the grindstone and doing the best job you can do. You have to be making decisions based on politics to get that job. There's just no way around that. And right now he's down there at his boss's urging to prevent the state of Missouri from taking over the police department again, because Tashara Jones would no longer run the show, which her constituents want her to run the show. She would no longer be running the show. She would be one voice. She would have one appointee on the board, or maybe it would be her, and then the governor would appoint four people.
I'd be curious to see who the governor would appoint.
I'll throw my name in the hat. I think that would be fantastic.
You'd do a great job.
Oh, thank you. Thank
you. The interesting part of that would be you and Tashara Jones going head-to-head of her saying, more social workers, and you're saying, no, Mayor Jones, we need to actually have more cops on the streets. Because remember, the social workers only work basically 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, folks. So the times when it's peak crime, they're busy. They can't help out.
Maybe, just maybe, as we get our gubernatorial candidates on here who are all running for governor, I'll have to ask them that question. Just out of interest, can I rely on your support for an?
If I vote for you, will you then agree to appoint me
for a position on the police board when that happens? Because I do think it's going to happen. Now, our friend Jane Duker was down there yesterday arguing in favor of state control for the police. Now, Jane is an attorney. Jane is a Democrat. Jane is not. She talks about that all the time. But she is pro-cop, and she works on behalf of police officer unions, which is her interest in all of this. Here's what she said yesterday.
Jane Duker is a lobbyist for various police associations and said the major deficit of police officers and staff is too pressing an issue to wait.
So the crisis staffing is real, and unfortunately, it's not getting better. The department is not even close to making up for attrition, and that is dangerous. It makes the public unsafe, and it makes officers unsafe.
Yeah, she's right.
I agree. We think about how we don't feel as safe with fewer officers, but they're not either, because I would imagine they're having to go to some of these scenes that are quite intense with one or two people, right? They don't have the backup that they really need in these situations.
Again, St. Louis politics is a vacuum of progressiveness. That's what it is. Nothing else can exist in the vacuum. As long as they're pulling the strings on the budget, police in St. Louis will never be fully funded, and there will always be vacancies, and they have no intention of filling them. So unless you move to state control, you have no chance of regaining that, in my opinion. So, all right, coming up, we're going to talk more about the Trump immunity arguments that are going to be in front of the Supreme Court today. We got in other news ahead as well, and then we get to Jim Talent and Nick Schroer in the next hour. Senator Schroer is the one behind this attempt to strip Planned Parenthood of its any Medicaid funding at all. We'll be back in just a minute. The question is, how much protection should a president have when they're in office on decisions they're making in terms of possible charges down the road? David Spunt from Fox News is covering the story today. The Supreme Court is going to hear arguments in this later. David, what are you expecting?
Well, we're expecting arguments to go at least 2 hours, possibly more. This is a huge case today outside the court. I'm outside the court right now. No members of the public out here, surprising, because arguments begin in less than 3 hours here at the Supreme Court, but a big media presence. Donald Trump will not be here in person. He wanted to be here, but the judge in New York in his state case, hush money case in New York, is mandating that he's physically in the courtroom there. So he's not going to be here, but special counsel Jack Smith is going to be here. So this, basically, to break it down for everyone listening, deals with the case where Donald Trump was charged federally in federal court here in Washington, D.C., for his alleged attempts to try to overturn the 2020 presidential election results. Donald Trump and his legal team, they say that the alleged acts happened while he was still president. Presidents can't be charged. Therefore, you know, he should have immunity and not be able to face trial here in Washington, D.C. Jack Smith, a special counsel, will give you a completely different tale. He says that Trump's alleged behavior continued after he was president and therefore should be charged, full stop. So this was supposed to go to trial here in Washington back on March 4th, a day before Super Tuesday. It's been delayed because the Supreme Court agreed to hear it. So if the Supreme Court sides with Jack Smith, the special counsel, it means the trial in Washington, D.C. will start moving forward again. But it's been on pause for several months now, so it'll take a while to get those engines moving again. We could see a trial perhaps late summer or in the fall. If the justices rule in favor of Donald Trump and agree that he does have immunity, and just takes a majority of the nine justices to say so, we may not see a trial at all.
Yeah, that's true. David, is there any sense of urgency here on the part of the court? I mean, do we think this is just going to be treated like any other case, and it may be June before we get a decision?
Well, the justices have expedited this case somewhat for argument to put it on the calendar today. Today's their last day of oral argument for this term. They could have said, listen, we're too busy. We can't get it on. We'll get it on in the fall. And that would have just absolutely pushed this past the election. No question, 99%. But there is a chance they could, you know, move on this fairly quickly, you know, in the next few weeks. Typically, they decide big cases by the end of June. But this is a good case. We're talking about the immunity of a president. And Donald Trump says that, you know, this is not just him. This is all future presidents. And they should, you know, have that immunity. So it's a big case, no question. You know, when they'll rule, we don't know, but it's likely this is going to take front and center for them. It's not something we expect them to just kind of say, oh, yes, we need to get to that. We'll get to that later. It's likely they'll definitely start discussing this as soon as possible.
Yeah. David Spunt, we'll be watching your reports from the Supreme Court today. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's right. I don't know if they hurry this up or not, but it would not happen before late summer or early fall. This, whether you love or hate James Comey, one of his reasons for not prosecuting Hillary Clinton is that that was in July or August when he made that. And I think it was July of that year before the election. One reason is they weren't sure a jury would convict, but also they were very conscious of moving into the middle of election season with a trial that could have an impact on the outcome of an election. How could the Justice Department justify that? There are also bigger questions here, and one of Donald Trump's former lawyers addressed this yesterday. James Trustee is his name. And he was actually on like CNN talking about, or MSNBC talking about this. But I thought he made a very good point here, is that Democrats are kind of playing with fire here if this is something they're hoping to win, this argument on immunity in the Supreme Court.
None of us really knows. But I think ultimately, big picture, you know, I think they're going to be sensitive to the idea that we're descending into a weaponized world where law enforcement's being used too freely to go after political figures, and particularly President Trump. So he may not be the most sympathetic figure. You don't have the ex-president's club rallying behind him. But I think if you look systemically, creative prosecution, going after a presidential candidate, should be a bad word. And I think they may be sensitive to that.
Yeah, he's talking about the justices.
I think it sets a dangerous precedent. And I would imagine the Supreme Court would want to vote on this quickly, would want to rule on it, I should say.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, this should take precedence.
So when did you watch media coverage on this today? Here would be my observation for you to keep in mind. The left, the CNNs, the alphabet media in this country are portraying this argument as something really ridiculous. That Donald Trump wants you to believe a president should be able to murder somebody when they're in office and be immune from prosecution. That's not what this case is about. It's not what this case is about at all. The argument here is whether or not a speech Donald Trump gave outside of the ellipse there, outside of the White House on January 6th, somehow contributed to what happened inside the Capitol as he was still speaking. That his opposition to the outcome of the election, his issues, his concerns, that he didn't have any right to talk about all of that, and that somehow 4 years later the federal government can go back and charge you with a crime, it's outrageous what they're doing to Trump here on this issue. And presidents have done much, much, much worse things that they're not prosecuted for. And if they can be prosecuted for tiny things like this, that has a chilling effect on the presidency. You're going to go into a room and decide if you're going to drop. Imagine if FDR could have been sued over his decision to drop the atomic bomb on Japan. It's that kind of silly season that we're moving into here. And those debates are going to be held in the Supreme Court today. All right, coming up, we'll get to In Other News here at about 6:48. We'll be back in just a minute.
Four more years.
You don't screw around with me.
Yeah, he's cooked, folks. President of the United States here yesterday reading the quiet stuff in the prompter, the stuff you're not supposed to say, in case you missed that.
For example, I don't have a teleprompter when I read my news headlines that I write, but I do have a little, in parentheses, something that says pause for music break. And I had that in there from day one because I wanted to make sure I didn't mess it up.
Yes.
And that would be like me reading pause for music break in sports.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, come on.
I don't know how to explain it. They probably shouldn't let Joe Biden go out anymore. I mean, anytime they've got him in front of a camera is a potential. It's like a gaffe a minute.
Yeah.
That's it. That's like the whole Jeb Bush thing where he said, please clap. Like there was such a lack of enthusiasm for Jeb Bush's campaign when he ran last time around.
Please clap.
He had to beg the audience to clap for him.
Applause for me.
Please clap.
Yeah.
I mean, if Joe Biden were to ever debate Trump, which we know will not happen because the Biden administration will make sure of it, Trump would destroy him at a debate if he just asked him a series of basic questions like, what is your name? What did you eat for breakfast? What country do we live in? What year is it? I mean, well, seriously, like he'd be stumped.
If they've got him on enough Adderall or whatever they pumped him up on for the State of the Union address, he might get through something like that. Would he get through three of them? I don't know.
But he wasn't being challenged, right? He had that scripted. He had a teleprompter.
I think your
point
is
he could go at his
one.
Own pace. Mm. I just think it would be a total game changer if we saw him actually have to go head to head with Trump or anyone for that matter.
The risk of that strategy is if he surprised everyone and pulled it off.
My 9-year-old niece could beat him at a debate, likely. I mean, I'm serious. Like, that is how little faith I have in his ability to have a debate with somebody.
Oh, man. That I had to play that for you again just because of how ridiculous it was. I mean, and then Kamala Harris, of course, is a winner. She went out, I believe it was yesterday. Was it yesterday? I'm trying to think here. She went out yesterday, and she was giving another one of these hard-hitting speeches because the thing about her is they never let her take questions if it's a controversial issue. They're smart enough about that. Unfortunately, they can't protect Biden in every single case. But they let her go out and they do hard-hitting interviews with Kamala. Listen.
I'm a Libra. My husband is a Libra. And it's so funny. Doug, he'll talk about the fact that it's the Libra in us where we will sit on the couch in front of the TV with the switcher for like 45 minutes
control.
Debating which Netflix show we start streaming.
Our vice president.
Future leader of the free world, because Joe Biden's not making another 4 years. This is what's on the line right here. Here's another hard-hitting bite from her.
If they take their shoes off and then cross their legs so that their foot is just dangling right in front of you.
She's talking about airline passengers.
And especially if they're sockless.
The sockless people in an airport, it's unbelievable.
Mm-mm. So let me tell you what happened to me. She is clipping her toenails.
Oh, God.
I'm rather alarmed. And I'm looking around to see, does she have a collection place where she's collecting these toenails?
I think Kamala Harris works really hard to be relatable. I think that's why she shares these bizarre things. Like, I love school buses. I love Venn diagrams. I think she feels like it makes people look at her as like, yeah, that's somebody I'd like to hang out with. She's cool. Almost the way that Biden was perceived when he was VP for Obama. I've made this argument before that I think that was like Biden's cool era. He wore the aviator sunglasses. He was with Obama.
He didn't have to do anything.
To a lot of people, made him cool by association. And
yes.
That's totally flopped. That's not the case anymore. But I feel like Kamala's trying to have that role, and it's just not happening.
Well, I mean, we would also always have this to look forward to, right?
You just fell out of a coconut tree?
A coconut tree?
Some people understand what I'm talking about.
What? The laugh.
But that wasn't what I was fixated on.
The
coconut tree.
Yeah. That's Kamala for you. So pray that Joe Biden makes it through the next few months, because that would be a complete and utter disaster in and of itself. Worse than the Republicans giving up the House, which, you know, if MTG has her way, and some of these folks, might happen next. That's the fright. Imagine the Democrats. Imagine Kamala Harris becoming president between now and November, because heaven forbid something happens to Joe Biden. And then the Republicans blowing it and somebody else resigning in the House and the Democrats voting Hakeem Jeffries in as speaker.
Sounds awful.
They try to expand the court. That they try to pass abortion ban or laws that overturned all these abortion bans. This is what you could expect out of their leadership. And now you've got the case in Arizona, which we haven't really talked about yet, but we're going to, where they've indicted 11 Republicans and named Donald Trump as a co-conspirator for a so-called fake set of electors put forward after the 2020 election. Now, bear in mind, they were alternate slate of electors. They weren't the main slate of electors. In the instance that the court overturned the election in Arizona, which it didn't, because they refused to properly investigate. But had they overturned the election, this would have been the slate of electors whose votes would have counted, not the other one. In the warped mind of Democrats, that's now election interference. That's where they've gone. Almost 4 years after the fact, they've just now decided to press charges in that case. It's so blatantly political, it's sickening. But that's where we are. I've got the soundbite from this just nasty attorney general out in Arizona, a Democrat, very partisan Democrat, who went to a grand jury and indicted 11 ham sandwiches, is what's happened here. So I'll get to more on that for you, I promise, coming up. I'll get Jim Talent's thoughts on it maybe at 7:20. How about that? We'll get to another news right after this. Stay tuned.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
It appears late rapper Tupac Shakur's estate is threatening to sue Drake over his recent Kendrick Lamar diss track, calling what appears to be the use of artificial intelligence generated versions of the late rapper's voice a blatant abuse of his legacy. Basically, Drake released the track Tailor-Made Freestyle on his Instagram on Friday, and he used AI software to generate verses emulating both Tupac Shakur and Snoop Dogg. In a cease and desist letter that was sent out yesterday, Howard King, an attorney for Shakur's estate, requested that Drake remove the track from all platforms where it is publicly available. Otherwise, the estate will pursue all legal remedies against him. And I listened to this before I came in, and there's no denying it. I mean, it sounds just like Tupac. Sounds kind of like Tupac, but the Snoop Dogg part sounds exactly like Snoop Dogg. So
first of all, Carl's right. I'd never heard that song before in my life. Secondly, why would you think you could get away with that in today's environment?
It's not him, technically.
Well, and yeah, I mean, the way I'm thinking of it is back in the 80s, early 90s when they were sampling stuff. There was no rules, so these guys were out just doing it before they could get busted.
Don't they? His estate probably owns the rights to his image.
Yes.
Yep. And if you're playing that off as his image, I could see how they're going to have luck in court over something like
that. Yeah, I think they absolutely have an argument.
It's because they have their own.
You can't do that. I don't care if you have AI or what you use. You can't recreate someone's voice like that and use it for your own
I wouldn't
profit.
Think so.
And this was one of the big holdouts that all the actors were protesting, too. So
I get that.
Mm-hmm. No, I can see it.
We'll keep you updated on that one if anything happens. After a settlement with the security camera company Ring, the Federal Trade Commission is sending more than $5.6 million in refund to over 116,000 Ring customers. The refund to Ring customers come after the settlement. It charges the Amazon-owned company that they basically allowed contractors and employees to access private videos and failed to implement security protection, enabling hackers to take control of the consumer's accounts, cameras, and videos.
Hey.
So, you might be getting a refund if you
getting
have
a check, Sue?
No, I have a knockoff ring.
I have a real ring, but I've refused to ever let it be connected to anybody else, like the neighborhood apps or anything like that.
Right. Just keep it to yourself.
Thank you. Yeah.
I also wouldn't have one inside my house. A lot of people want them all over.
Yeah.
And
like
I'm like,
the security cameras?
Like walking around. No, you've seen the videos of the hackers talking to the kids in their bedrooms.
I mean,
it's real freaky.
Well, mine, you can see the dogs. You can have a conversation with them.
You should market that. That you might actually be able to make money off that. People probably tune in just to see your beautiful dogs.
They probably would.
Honestly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, they're mostly just lying in beds or on the couch. But I suppose.
Particularly if you can use audio and let people can hear them snorting. And
oh, my gosh. It's mainly a snore fest. That's
people
a
make
snore fest.
Millions watching other people play video games, so they would surely watch a dog snore.
I guarantee they'd watch it.
History of the Pooch with Seuss.
Oh, gosh. That could be taken the wrong way, Carl.
Yes.
Maybe consider a different name, Sue.
Thank you.
It looks like the Food and Drug Administration shared on its website yesterday that particles of the bird flu virus were detected in some samples of pasteurized milk, but it noted that in the form it was detected, it is not a threat to humans. The FDA has increased testing of domestic milk supplies as the bird flu epidemic spreads through the avian and cattle livestock. So I see it's there. It's just not going to hurt us, I guess.
That seems alarmist to me.
They're still developing a vaccine for it. I saw an article about that. You heard it right there. They're not worried it's going to affect humans, and yet they're freaking out and saying that we're all going to die and that you need to get a shot in your arm.
One other quick one real quick. You might be familiar with Noah's Ark. Well, now it sees scientists are plotting to create a Noah's space station of sort, and the location would be up on the moon. The idea would involve a creation of a biorepository on the surface of the moon that would serve as a storage facility for endangered plant cells and cells from endangered animals.
So if things went south on Earth,
they can regrow everything.
But if things go south on Earth, how are we going to get back to the moon to retrieve it?
Well, that's a solid question.
It's a great question.
Just a thought. My guess is it's too late at that point. Hope somebody else finds
it. The aliens
someday
can do it for us.
Could be.
Bring an E.T.
Coming up a little later, our friend Bo Matthews is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to have a little fun. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.